Good morning. I like that. Good morning, Mr. Smock on three. One, two, three. Oh, wow, that is so formal. It's Christmas. Just chill out, all right? You guys need to calm down. All right. My name is Tim, and thank you for sharing part of your Sunday here with us, your weekend. Christmas is just around the corner. We're continuing in a series which is called Do You See What I See? But today I want to ask you the question and talk about it. Do you know what I know? Do you know what I know? And I want to talk about knowledge that transforms. Knowledge that transforms. But before I do that, who knows what happened on Friday night? What was it? Carols, and I know Alyssa and Mossy already talked about it, but I just want to put up a photo. How cool is that? You know, missionally, we want to shine with the light and message of Jesus in our city, right? Our heart is not just what happens here within the building of Gateway, but in our neighborhood, in all the other churches in Warrnambool. And I just want to say, this is Jesus being proclaimed in different ways, in many ways, right in the middle of our city, and we get to be a part of that. So I just wonder, would you give everyone who volunteered a huge round of applause? It was a massive, and I'm so happy to say, such an ecumenical effort. You know, Jake Martin, who's the associate pastor at the Prezi Church, did a fantastic job as MC. I think that's the King's College Choir, isn't it? We had community acts. We were part of it. I just want to thank so many people. We did the decorations. We were there with kids' activities. There was so much happening and so much collaboration. And it is something worth celebrating and recognizing. And so I just wonder, you know, as we talked a long time ago now about the one person that you might be trying to bring closer to Jesus this Christmas, would you just include in your prayers those who heard the good news of Jesus on Friday night? Can you do that for me? Yeah. Awesome. All right, back to knowledge that transforms. It's not what you know, but who you know that will bring transformation. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I think a lot of people think that pastors just get to visit other churches all the time, but that is not true. We would love to, and I know there are some who are itinerant speakers, so we get to go to lots of different places all the time. But generally, it's actually really hard to go visit another church. So I was really excited and really thankful to be released here from Gateway. I'm not captive, don't get me wrong. But like with the blessing to go and visit a church, Newman Church in Melbourne, which was formerly, what was it, probably like Richmond, AOG, Temple, had a few different names. But great, great church. And, you know, the reality is that you might be in here visiting this church for the first time, or you might be in a church for the first time, or I don't know, it might be a long time. But I just want to invite you in and say, I've had the same experience recently. And it was a really special and powerful experience. And here's the point that I took away. I didn't know the people or the songs or the structure, but our collective salvation, authority, peace, and hope is in the same person. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if someone here today, because I believe strongly, every time we encounter the Lord, every time we open His Word, every time the people of the Lord gather, He wants to transform someone's life. And I want to get more specific. He wants to transform your heart. And so, you know, let me just go back. We didn't know the people. I was there with my wife, my brother-in-law. We didn't know the people. We didn't know the songs. We didn't know the structure. So in the first hour of worship, I don't know what your experience this morning has been like. Maybe you didn't know any of those songs. But for an hour, we worshipped and didn't know a song. And you can say, well, you guys play music, it's a bit easier for you, and you might be a little bit right, but it is much more about this than it is about this, right? if you are willing to lean in to what is happening. And so I just want to give you permission that when the ministry time happened, Elise and I went up the front. We were prayed for probably 15 minutes in front of many more people than are in this room. And we were in tears and we were ministered to. And, you know, because life brings with it things that are worth celebrating, things that we might even be grieving or lamenting. And we just want to be authentic with what we're actually experiencing, because in that place, God will meet us. And when he does that, it's overwhelming. And whatever happens for you, if you're on your knees, if you're in tears, like, I want you to know that we've been there with you and experienced that. And I would not want to hide that. To hide it and not experience it is far too high of a cost to pay, right? So whatever you might know, what happens about that person over there? I think often we're either stuck in people pleasing or people judging. So, okay, I can't go up the front and be prayed for because someone might look at me and go, they don't have it all together. Or, ooh, that person's gone up the front to get prayed for, they don't have it all together. I heard a song recently that says kind of anyone who says they're not broken is lying. And that's the reality, in that Jesus came into the world, died, rose again to put broken things back together. Yeah? So I want to invite you into this. Who knows that the catchphrase is Jesus is the reason for the reason. All right, you might have heard this before, but I just have to tell you, just in case there's someone in here who doesn't know anything about this. So what happens in the Christian worldview is the only worldview in which God comes into the world that he created. He created a perfect world. It was broken by sin. God himself, you know, people think, oh, how mean is God to send his son? It's not a good understanding of who God is, because he sent not just his son, but literally a part of himself in Jesus. Comes into the world, lives a perfect life. He experiences all that we do. Highs, lows, sadness, betrayal, grief, right? We're not going to go through all of those situations, but they're all there. They're all real. And so we have this permission to actually experience life as it is, not just how we sometimes wish it would be, because life happens to us all, right? And so Christmas is the celebration of his birth. And then he comes to die on a cross, to rise again, to conquer death, that you might join in that. And as the song goes in Mary's Boy Child, that man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Amen? This thing's annoying me. Hang on. All right. That's much better. What do you guys think? All right. So that knowledge is great. And you might go, yes, but how does that knowledge transform? I want to talk about it today. In John 8, 31, in the New Living Translation, it says this. It should be on the screen for you. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples or my followers if you remain faithful to my teaching. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You might know about Jesus, but if you don't know him as a person, as your Lord and Savior, then you are not yet set free. Free, let me be really clear, free from slavery to the forces of the world around us and the forces within ourselves. All of that has one name, it's called sin. And it has ruined this world that God created, but Jesus is his plan to restore. Amen. And that's what Christmas means. Christmas is not the expectation of, you know, people trying their best, but I'm saying to you, your house has to be spotless. Your Christmas meal must look a certain way. You must spend this amount on gifts. You have to go and endure Black Friday sales like my wife did to me. And then you have to go down the street in Warrnambool at Christmas time and then go home biting your nails because it's so crazy. We've been set free of those things. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't fall into the trap that everything about Christmas is just worldly. Yes, there are things that we can fall into, right? We can start to love things and use people. But Christmas is actually about Jesus. So don't throw it away. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Everybody say, think. Well done. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All right, you with me? Everyone say point number one. All right, let's go. Knowledge that transforms. Point number one, Jesus reveals. You're like, come on, man. I know this. It's still got to go from here to here. And I wonder if you're looking at what is happening in your mind, needing to understand that actually your heart needs loving. And that's what God wants to do today. So Luke 10, verses 21 to, I think, 24. Here we go. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, shh, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And as I said last week, these weren't people who lived at another time, but more so those who were prideful and wise in their own eyes and wouldn't hear or see what God was doing. And we talked about the difference between childish faith and childlike faith. Children are trusting, but they're also pretty good at seeing hypocrisy, aren't they? And like, you know, sometimes you can think you're pulling the wool over their eyes, but you become a parent and you're like, yes, that is not working. I'm going to stop because my kids are sitting right here. Hey, love you, buddy. Don't want to give away all the secrets. So point one, Jesus reveals. And I've got 3 points, but really I'm going to stick on point three because I think one and two are quite obvious. And really, it's not actually about knowing more. It's about surrendering more and understanding that God wants to minister to your heart. And I'm going to give you a really clear picture of what that looks like in a moment. So that was number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit reminds. Just in case you haven't been around, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is how many? One, two, three. And it's called the Holy Trinity. And we don't think of it this way, one plus one plus one equals three, because then if God's sending Jesus into the world and makes him die on a cross, that's like pretty rough, right? It's actually this, one times one times one equals... I know, it's really confusing, and you haven't covered that at school yet, but you will. I love the boldness. You just got to go for it sometimes. One times one times one equals one. They are all parts of the same, but they are different. They have different roles. And so God had this plan for Christ the Son. But then Jesus, after his resurrection, is around in the world for about 40 days. He's seen by hundreds of people, and yet this is so disputed. And his life just shines throughout history. And people just need not just their minds open to it, but their hearts. So John 14, 26 says this, and then I should say, and then the Holy Spirit came into the world when Jesus went back to heaven, says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he, the person of the Holy Spirit, who has been the part of the Holy Trinity who has been in the world for 2,000 years since Jesus. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit reminds. If you need reminding, our prayer, my prayer for you is, Holy Spirit, you are here with us. Do you know that when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, in no other worldview does God Himself come and reside in His people to transform them? And we receive so much in that that I think we're so quick to forget. So point one, Jesus reveals. Point two, the Holy Spirit reminds. And I want to spend some time here because I think it's so important, because I think a lot of us are walking around troubled in our mind, not knowing that it's actually a malnourished heart that is the source of this. So let me say this, point three, new heart equals new mind. I think often we've been told new mind equals new heart. But I would say that biblically, every time we see this, the heart is referenced before the mind. We go back as far as Ezekiel, and we will. I want to say this. As a church, we really understand that people need counseling, that medication helps a lot of people. And so we're supportive in doing that, and we've referred and helped people find the help that they need when they're mentally going through struggles. But our heart is that we would always be seeking Jesus first as our healer and the power of the Holy Spirit as we do that. So start where you're invited to start. Amen. And I know it takes vulnerability to say, I need that kind of help. I invite you, you can come forward today. We are trusted people. We will not share anything from you, but you can also reach out to us anytime during the week. So point three, new heart equals new mind. So question right now, how is the health of your mind? Because your heart precedes your mind. How do I know this? All right, first, I won't start with the Bible. I know this because people can know a lot and still think, say, and do really bad stuff, can't they? And I'm not talking about perfection, right? Even in Christ, we all make mistakes, but knowledge alone is not enough. So that's my first defense, which is not from the Bible. If you're sitting here going, ugh, he's just talking about the Bible all the time. Come on, man. All right, but now, can I go to the Bible? Is that all right? Awesome. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, this is, what is the greatest commandment? You must love the Lord your God with all of your mind. Yes, but first, heart, soul, and mind. Starts with the heart. Nothing that Jesus said was ever said by mistake. We don't flip words. Words have meaning. Communication is important. Clarity is kindness. If you clearly communicate with someone, you are going a long way to helping them feel safe and loving them. Jesus is saying, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then I love this. As far back as Ezekiel 36, 26, it says this. It says, God, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I'm not going to ask anyone to put their hand up, but I just know that at times of my life, I have had that stubborn, stony heart. And things come against us. We all experience life. One of the great passages of Scripture, it talks about Jesus. We don't have a high priest who is unable to understand what we go through, right? Jesus looks upon the masses with compassion. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you a rest that nothing and no one in this world can give you. And I know whether you're here in person or you're online or you're listening down the track to this, there is someone who is there just going, oh, my heart I've been hurt so much, and my heart, I've put defenses around it. The one person you can trust with the well-being of your heart and mind is Jesus. And our job is to point you to him and help you along the way. To say, we're not perfect, but come follow, walk with us as we try to follow a perfect Savior together. I'm not going much longer today, but if we think of that, do not conform to the pattern of this world, as it says in Romans 12, or don't copy what is happening in the world. It starts with our hearts. I want to introduce you to someone who I only met in the last week. And when I say met very loosely, because as a staff, we met this person online. And I don't mean on Zoom. We just watched this lady speak in a video. So it's pretty tenuous, that relationship, isn't it? Anyway, her name is Dr. Anita Phillips, and she is a trauma therapist, a life coach, and a minister. She is wildly? She's pretty good. She's widely recognized as a thought leader at the intersection, listen to this, the intersection of mental health, faith, and culture. That's a pretty important intersection, isn't it? All right? So what I'm going to say next was helpful but challenging to me. But I want to give you some basis around where I'm saying this from. You know, I think it's time to end the war with our emotions. To have a better theology, which is an understanding. Theology is how we understand God. A better theology of emotions. Because here's the very clear thing. If God, who created us in his image. God said, we will create man in our image because he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's in a bit of his little community together, right? Perfect community. That's how we can say God is loving. Because if you're by yourself in a forest and you're like, I'm loving, no, you're not. Because there's nothing to prove that you are actually loving. You need to be in community to prove that you are loving. Why? Because your love will be tested, won't it? Don't we love when that happens? Right? In family, like kids are so cute. And he started listening. I got to stop. We're challenged in that. But here's the thing. If God has emotions and created us in his image and saw that it was good, then our emotions in response to real things that happen, the good, the bad, the ugly, the traumatic, they are real and they're important. And if you don't process them, if you don't look at them and go, acknowledge that they are real, they will eat you alive. It is still true, the saying, the analogy, emotions aren't bad, let them in the car, but don't let them drive. Right? But if you sit there at war all the time with your emotions, trying to push them down without actually having your heart nourished, you are missing the very thing that God wants to do and the very thing that's going to sustain and restore. Let me give an example. I just want to be a bit vulnerable. I have struggled in my life with anger. Anyone else? Don't put your hand up. I'm putting. All right. Luckily, they're not both my boys, but I got one to deal with. And I read in the book of James, it says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, me just knowing that, is that going to help me change that behavior? No. I need God to give me a new heart, which he has. And I need the Holy Spirit to cut through my emotions because I experience anger and then God cuts through and he ministers to us. And that anger has been so dulled and in often times totally removed. But we still need God's Holy Spirit to remind us to cut through because just knowing it here is not enough. So anger in that context is bad. But what happens when there is injustice and we should be angry? Why? Because we have a better understanding of God and we know that every person is created in God's image. Every person is worthy of his love and he loves every single person, regardless of where they are, who they are, what they've done, enough to send Jesus into the world to die for them, right? So anger is not inherently bad. Stop the war with your emotions, but understand that the renewing of your mind begins in your heart. I'm going to do something, and Elliot is going to help me in just a moment. But I wonder, you know, Pastor Prudy is going to bring the word because we've got, what do we got? We've got our Christmas Eve service, then we've got our New Year's Eve service. And when we say Eve, we don't mean that the services are at night. That's what the day is called. Let me say this. Changed behaviors don't change your life. I wonder if in the back of your mind, you're like, got my New Year's resolutions. I'm ready to go. This year, it's going to work. Changed behaviors don't change your life. If you could change your behaviors, it would. But often we're going about it the wrong way and our behaviors don't actually change. It's emotions and feelings that drive our actions and our choices. And so identity change is needed. I will give you a new heart that is soft and receptive. Because when we receive that, it changes us emotionally. It changes us in our thoughts. And it's that that changes our behavior. I want to say to you today that our identity, like the reason for the season, our identity is received from Jesus, who he is and what he has done, not what we have or can achieve for ourselves. And if you're sitting here going, I've heard this so many times, how is the temperature of your heart? And why don't you go share this with someone else? So, back to the beginning. Who I know is more important than what I know. Because you could technically know the Bible word for word and have a hard, stubborn, non-receptive, non-loving heart. And that is not what following Jesus is about. And Paul says, effectively, if you lose love, you've lost everything, right? Who do you know? You know, Jesus says of someone, he says, who do you say I am? And it's really important because, you know, someone could reach out to us as a church on Facebook or something and say like, who do you say that Jesus is? And we can go, this is who he is to us. But is that who he is to you? Jesus turns to Simon Peter and says, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Messiah, you are Lord, you're my God. Is that who Jesus is to you? And so I want to invite you today to come to Jesus or come back to Jesus and receive a new heart. We're invited to walk daily with Jesus to nurture this heart. He's the one who said, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on the very word of God. We're invited to walk with him, literally walk and just be there with the presence of God. We're invited to open the Bible, his word. We're invited to talk back to him. These are all of the things that actually healthy relationships include, right? I want to invite you to walk in that. Elliot, can you help me, buddy? Come up here. Hey, this is our eldest son. This is Elliot. Everyone say hi, Elliot.
Hi.
Say hi.
Hi.
Awesome. You know, just before he and I do something up here, last week I said, it's more about the attitude of your heart than the state of your heart. What does that mean? I don't know how your experience is of this time of the year. It might be a year that brings a broken heart to the surface. But the reality is that broken-hearted people find God all the time. and he finds them. But hard-hearted, stubborn, wise in their own eyes, people walk past God all the time. Say that again. Oh, thanks for saving me. So if you're broken-hearted here today, God wants to meet you. And if you know you've had a hard heart, would you surrender that and just ask God, bring softening of my heart here today. All right, are you ready? Let's do this. All right. Now, Anita Phillips talks about something which is really interesting. Elliot, you are here to help me. So first, we need the dirt here. All right, what have we got? What kind of seeds do you have there?
We've got tomato and basil.
Basil? Mate, it's basil.
Basil.
You're awesome. All right, we got some dirt down here. We got some water that we don't need yet. I wonder if you guys know a parable that Jesus told. Do you want to rip the top off that? Called the parable of the sower. Do you know about this? So there's a couple of things that are talked about. One, we are invited in John 15 to abide in the vine, to be grafted into God, which means to be connected with him, because apart from him, we can do nothing. But Jesus told a story about the parable of the sower. And this seed being planted is the good news of Jesus. So that we wouldn't just know about the person of Jesus, but actually we would come to know him personally. But we know that the state of our heart has so much to say around what will happen with that. So the parable of the sower goes like this. A seed was planted. What was it? Does anybody know where it starts? No? It was thrown out, hard ground, and it was very quickly burnt out. Birds took it away. It's gone. The second one was thrown onto very, very shallow soil. And so as soon as the sun came out or the birds came, it was dried up. It was taken away. What are we up to now? Three? The third one was planted and the weeds crept up. And then the fourth one was planted in good soil and it grew and flourished as it was supposed to. So why don't we have a look at this? Is this hard to get into? What are we going with first? What are these ones?
Tomato.
Tomato. This is not as many seeds in here as I thought there would be. All right. Can we grab one and we're going to put it, firstly, let's put a couple on this. Can you hold that for me? Awesome. I think this is something that we don't realize, is that if we are talking about our lives as a garden, then the soil is our hearts and the plant is our mind. And if the state of the soil is not good, then your mind will not be good either, because no plant can grow without the right context. So maybe right now your heart is feeling like this. And what is happening is that any time the wind blows, your mind just gets taken to and fro. There goes all the seeds of knowing Jesus. We'll ask Siri. Siri has all the answers. Maybe you've got some shallow soil here. Can we put a little bit of dirt on that? Yeah, perfect. And we sift it around a little bit. And then can we put some seeds on there? I just thought that in the big packet, there'd be a lot of seeds and they'd be loose and you just like tip them out. Yes, preparation is key. Can we drop some seeds on there? Just a couple? Oh, that was, hang on, too many. All right. I don't want to ask the most contentious question of the day, but who likes coriander? All right, hands down. Who doesn't? All right, no judgment, but coriander's amazing. Who thinks that that is going to grow well? No? The sun's going to come out. It's going to burn it. Boys, you know what? All right. I'm going to have to eat my words here, but can you take that home? And I don't want you to, don't water it, don't put it in the sun, and tell me what happens. I think it will just be a sad plant. I agree. Well done. Mossy's kicking it, Tay. Awesome. All right, next one. Now, can we put a whole bunch of dirt in this? No, keep going. Oh, there's already a weed in there. You know what? I'm going to speed up this process. You take that. All right. Let's do this.
This is boring.
I still love you. And when we do this to God, He loves us too. All right. Can we put some seeds in this one? Because this one has a bit more. Just pour them in there. Make a little hole. Are they in there? All right, good. Cover it up. Very good. All right. We've got a bit of weird echo from somewhere. Yes, well done. All right. Who thinks that this will grow well?
Santa does.
Santa does? Yeah? So remember, this is the third one where it goes into the soil, but the weeds creep up and take over. I tell you what, I've been trying to grow some grass in our backyard, and that's the kind of weed that has sprung up, and it is not going anywhere. I'm just going to keep talking. That's confusing. All right, here's the final one. Can you put a hole in there? Let's do a hole and put some seeds in there.
Come on.
Do we have some?
I think I need to put the bag of seeds in there. There's not that many seeds.
Good job.
My little brother hates tomatoes.
But you like tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. Now, you're going to hold this and just walk over there for a second. Well done. All right. So if I take that outside, this is some nice soil, isn't it? If I take that outside and I just put it in the sun, will it grow? Is that enough? No. Why?
It needs water.
It needs water?
And
air. Do you think that possibly some of us are walking around going, yep, the plant should be growing well, but I'm not watering it at all, and I'm not going to the Lord, and I'm wondering why my mind isn't in a very good place because my heart isn't actually being nourished. And I wonder today, if we give that a bit of a water, well done. I just wonder if you would reflect on that for a moment, because Jesus says, I'll give you living water that will create a wellspring to eternal life. And yeah, He's there. He wants to keep pouring into us. But I wonder if all of the things of life have come in and they are kind of overflowing you like this might soon. Awesome, buddy. Can we give Elliot a round of applause? Thank you so much. Well done. Love you, buddy. Paige, are you going to sing for us? Can you come up for me? Today, do you know what I know? God wants to transform your heart or restore a broken one. And Paige has been playing this song, Do You Hear What I Hear, so beautifully for us each week. You know, I think maybe you're going to do it again for us next week. Maybe. And I just wonder if you would reflect at this time, and this will be the close of the service, but Alyssa will come back and explain what will come next. But I'm going to be up here, we're going to have some other people who are praying, and I just wonder if your mind hasn't been in a good place, but actually you're realizing is because you have a malnourished heart and God wants to minister to your heart today. He wants to pour living water into you. He wants to connect with you in a deeper way. And I don't know what plans that you have to go to after this or what's happening for Christmas, but today Jesus wants to meet people. And that is the reason for the season, that God's Father heart sent His Son to restore your child's heart back into relationship with Him, that you might live a well-nourished life. And I know it's scary, and I know you've got to be vulnerable, but I invite you to reflect on it today. Take your time. There's no rush. We're just going to listen to Paige. But we are up here and we would love to pray with you and to hear your story. And that invitation is today or through the week. And whether you're hearing about Jesus for the first time or you're going, oh, I know so much about Jesus, but I actually don't feel like I know Him personally. And today you can.